Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schoerlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, as always, Michael Schoerlein, and this is episode number 40. Number 40. It seems like yesterday that we just started this last summer, but here we are at episode 40. Today is Saturday, November 23rd, 2019, and we have a little bit to talk about since Monday, don't we? It's been a really fun week, even though the Islanders only played two games between episodes that we recorded here. And honestly, everything has been very fun. It's a little hard to wrap your mind around when you think about it with all the record streaks and everything else. And I promise you, I am not going to add the word streak into this title. Two episodes in a row is enough of that. We already know what they're doing, and we're going to go into it. And again, I have written down a whole bunch of stuff on my notebook here, another couple of pages. I am going to try to keep this episode under an hour and 20 minutes, because I get a little long-winded sometimes when I have a guest. But you guys seem to enjoy that, and I promise we will continue to have a guest regularly. I have a couple of things still in the works here. I am not going to name any names until they're nailed down, but I promise you, you're going to enjoy the next couple episodes with guests. But now that I'm back to a regular recording schedule, I want to try to get a longer episode out early in the week and then a shorter 30 to 40 minute episode in between games, just to kind of catch up and talk about some of the things that have transpired. So let's get into it, shall we? Obviously, the big news or the big talking points right now are going to be this Islanders streak, the point streak, a franchise record point streak that they recently set on Thursday. For the first time in Islanders history, they have recorded points in 16 straight games. The Islanders are 15-0-1 in their last 16 games with 31 of 32 possible points. That is pretty darn good, is it not? They have won all sorts of different ways, have come from behind a couple of times, which I'll go into in a minute. Eric Hornick on the NYI Skinny blog had so many different things to choose from to talk about today. I could honestly make an episode of all of the hard work that he does. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. You should also follow his blog and everything that he writes on the New York Islanders website as well. But just crazy amount of things here. It's like hard to kind of focus. We have Brock Nelson as the overtime hero. We talked about in episode 39 with Mike Tracy this week that, you know, going into the game on Tuesday against Pittsburgh, he hadn't scored in 10 games. Here we are after the last two against Pittsburgh. He has three goals in two games. And like I said, I wasn't really worried about Brock because he was shooting the puck a whole bunch. And that's usually a good sign for me of a player who might not really be contributing points-wise, but he is still doing the right things on the ice. So, I mean, I know he's a streaky player, as is Anthony Beauvillier. But Brock has two game-winning overtime goals in back-to-back games. Eric Hornick brought up in his blog that Brock Nelson is an overtime hero. He's got two overtime winning goals in back-to-back games. The second on Thursday coming in his 500th NHL game, all as a New York Islander. That's pretty darn good if I do not say so myself, which I just did. The only other player to record three overtime goals besides Brock Nelson in a season is John Tavares. And Tavares did that two times. He had three goals in 2010-2011 and four in the 2014-2015 season. But hopefully Brock can surpass him and we can kind of erase number 91 there from the record books. Obviously, as we talked about, the team has broken a franchise record with their current streak, and the former 15-game point streaks in New York Islanders history are 1978-79, 1980-1981, and 1981-82. Two of those years, you obviously know, were cup-winning seasons. I'm not saying the New York Islanders can win the cup this year. I mean, any team can win the cup, right? Look at St. Louis last year. They fired their coach early in the season. They were doing terrible. Come from behind. Storm through the rest of the league the second half of the season and ultimately win the Stanley Cup. Anything can happen. This is the parity in this league is ridiculous. And, I mean, you talk about parity while we're on that subject. The Capitals are still first in the Metro as much as the Islanders have been winning here what seems like every game. The last time, like we spoke about last episode, the Islanders lost in regulation was October 11th. That's just insane. So you never know. Per Eric Hornick, Nelson is the first player in Islanders history to record OT winners in consecutive games. So that's another little bit of record-setting things here. The Isles' record of 16-3-1 is the most wins and points the Isles have ever had through 20 games. Some other notables, and this is a mixture of stuff from Eric Hornick and Arthur Staple on Twitter. 14-3-3 in 76-77, which they also did again in 78-79. They were 14-5-1 in 87-88, 14-6-0 in 2014-2015, and 12-4-4 in 81-82. So obviously there were some good teams there. They're in their own great company with this season of 15-0-1. I love to just see this magic continue. It's been so fun to watch. I mean, a little stressful at times with how they've had to come back, which they seem to do almost every game that they are. When was the last time that, aside from last year, if the opponent scores first, you're like, it's fine. Everything is fine. The Islanders are going to do what they do. They're going to come back. They're going to play strong. They might come out a little slow, especially that Tuesday game earlier this week and the game against Philly on Saturday last weekend. But, you know, teams can play good with a lead. Teams can also play good when they're behind. It doesn't really matter. The Islanders have done both. And it's remarkable. I think that, like Mike and I had talked about in episode 39 again, this is the type of hockey that you need to be able to play if you want to play deep into the playoffs, you know, through May and into June if it goes that far. So I love it. The NHL also put out a fun graphic post-game, you know, on Thursday, and they had a bunch of fantastic stats on there as well that I tweeted out. Did you know that the Islanders have had 17 different goal scorers during this streak of 16 games with points? 11 different players have had a game-winning goal. They've had 3 multi-goal comeback wins and 9 total comeback wins. This streak would not be possible without information like that, but without play like that. It could be a completely different thing if they would have lost those one-goal games. We would be at the bottom of the standings if they didn't really pull out these wins. So it's important to bank points early, and the Islanders have. I believe Arthur Staple had said, or somebody, maybe it was on NHL Network Radio, that the Islanders, at this point, having banked so many points and you know, having the record that they do, can go .500 for the rest of the season and still be on pace to have 95 points, which should be good enough to make the playoffs. Obviously, we don't want to go in as a wild card in the 8th seed there, but this is why it's so important to win games early. The Isles have also finally gotten the attention of a lot of people throughout the league, and not just here in the United States, it's kind of happening north of the border as well. They are at the top or near the top of every power ranking that I have seen over the last couple of days. Now, this is good and bad. Obviously, we want the attention. The Islanders deserve the attention and, you know, the media attention. But with that comes a little bit of scrutiny. Now, obviously, the rest of the teams in the league know what the Islanders are. They're not going to take them lightly. I'm sure it's at the top of all the bulletin boards, you know, during the practice meetings and pregame skates and everything like that. You just look at what Pittsburgh did for Barzal on Tuesday by keeping him off the score sheet, and they were double covering him most of the game. He actually got benched for that turnover that led to a goal on Tuesday. So you're going to look at these next three games in California, and they're going to obviously be keying to some of the guys who have found success. Did you also see Robin Leonard was quoted yesterday afternoon saying he watches most of the Islanders games, and obviously he has a lot of friends on the team. But when was the last time you saw a former player of an organization take up so much interest in the current one once he's gone? That's kind of remarkable, and it's pretty cool to see. Such a great guy, character guy. I mean, who's been hot lately, too? Anthony Beauvillier. Four straight games with a goal, or at least a goal. He had the two games there back-to-back where he scored two goals last week, going into the weekend, too. I love to see it. He's just riding this hot streak. That whole line of, I think I saw it said as the B&B line. Bo, Brock, and Brassard. Actually, Brock Nelson would be the N. I digress. But Brock's got three goals in two games after being goalless in the last 10 previous of the two Pittsburgh games. Obviously, like we said, the two overtime winners, which is huge. Brassard points in the last five. Barzal has three assists Thursday. Like I previously mentioned, again, he was held off the score sheet against Pittsburgh on Tuesday. But he's the Islanders' hottest goal scorer and leading the Islanders in points with 20. And Brock Nelson right underneath him there at number two with 19. This is a great time to hit the road. The team has been reported being so close the last two seasons. Obviously, this group has been together by and large complete with a couple of additions in Varmalov and Derek Brassard. Obviously, with some of the kids that have come into the lineup too, with Otto Koivula and everybody else that has gone in and out during the injuries here. But this is a really good time to hit the road. They are going to continue to just grow closer, and the road gives them time to kind of really spend time away from home. They're going to have a bunch of team dinners and go out and enjoy the sights over there in California, which is fantastic. If you've never been to California, I've been to a couple of cities now, not for hockey, obviously, but I always love going to California. The weather is just fantastic, and you know, it's been pretty cold here in New York, so they're going to enjoy that West Coast life there for a couple of days. On this West Coast trip, as I refer to my notes here again, they're going to start tonight, Saturday, in San Jose. The game's at 10:30 Eastern. Monday in Anaheim at 10 p.m. Eastern, and L.A. on Wednesday at 10:30 Eastern, which is Thanksgiving Eve. They return home Saturday the 30th to face Columbus at the Barclays, and they've played pretty well at the Barclays as of late. The Sharks have struggled through this season so far and sit 10th in the West. They have the same amount of points, 23, as the Ducks and the Flames, but have played fewer games. They are 7-3-0 in their last 10 and beat the Golden Knights in overtime on Thursday. So they've played better as of late, but they, you know, still have struggled for stretches here. The Ducks have also struggled. They've played one less game than San Jose, sit ninth, and they're currently 10-10-3, coming off an overtime loss, and a crazy one, too, to the Florida Panthers. The Panthers overcame a three- or a four-goal deficit to tie the game and come from behind. If you haven't seen highlights of that game, I suggest you do. And I think they won two overtime games in a row as well, coming from behind. They're just another crazy story here in the East, and obviously Joel Quenneville has them playing much better than they have in the past. Obviously, also with Bobrovsky in net. It's kind of a big thing. Last but not least, the Kings. And a little bit of a joke here. The Kings aren't exactly royalty right now. They're playing like a struggling king would with a bad case of the gout, you know, the rich man's disease, the disease of kings. They sit dead last in the West with a record of 9-12-1 and 19 points. They did beat the red-hot Edmonton Oilers the other night 5-1 on Thursday, and five of the last nine wins have come over the last 10 games. So they're improving, They've been in the news a little bit, telling Kovalchuk that, sorry, we're just not going to need you right now. Maybe not for the rest of the season. There is a little issue with a bonus that's going to be paid out sometime in the middle of December, where they would be on the hook for it. So I think they're going to potentially try to move him or waive him or whatever here in the coming weeks ahead. The Western Conference, I should say, is a completely different animal than the East, let alone the Metro. The Metro has like some of the hottest, best teams in the entire league right now. But the Western Conference has notoriously been a tougher, more physical type of play, sort of like, you know, the Western Canada teams would be, you know, in the OHL, like the Rock'em Sock'em type hockey, which, you know, I don't know, is that a term we shouldn't use anymore due to everything that happened with Don Cherry last week? But will the streak continue? Who knows? That's why we're here. That's what we're going to talk about. The Islanders have just been playing fantastic hockey. I mean, we're going to go into a little bit more detail on the two wins, the two overtime wins over the Penguins. So Tuesday against the Pens, the Islanders were 0-for-4 on the power play. Again, still the least amount of power plays by a wide margin here, which will go into the next game because it gets a little interesting, in the entire NHL. But they were 0-for-4 on the power play. They killed off 2-of-4 penalty kills, which was pretty good, as you could potentially hear my children yelling upstairs. Ended the first period on Tuesday down 2-0. Obviously nothing new, which we spoke about already. Didn't really seem to come out of the gate with a lot of energy. Just puck was bouncing all over the place there in Pittsburgh, which seems to be an issue here league-wide still early in the season. You know, and it's kind of funny because it's been cold. It's not like it's been high humidity and warm temperatures. But, I mean, with the multi-use buildings, this is the new reality of the NHL, I guess. Anyway, Islanders come out in the second period, tied up 2-2, end the period down 3-2. It's kind of like a roller coaster. Third period, Pens take a 2-goal lead again with a power play goal to make it 4-2. Bailey makes it 4-3. Islanders pull their goalie, Varmalov, and Ryan Pulak with an absolute howitzer from the point ties the game late. It gets a little dicey there in the last couple of minutes while it's 4-4. Islanders make it to overtime. A little bit of back and forth. Islanders obviously have a very strong game plan in overtime, which, you know, the Penguins out-overtimed them in their first meeting where they won, obviously, and ended the 10-game win streak. But Brock Nelson follows up a Anthony Beauvillier shot. The puck sneaks through Matt Murray's pads, and Brock Nelson's there to push it across the line. Islanders win. So Thursday, a little bit different of a game. Obviously, this time it was in New York at the Barclays Center. Islanders were 2-for-7 on the power play, and a couple of those power plays were a little abbreviated because the Islanders took some of their own, but they killed off all three of the Pittsburgh power plays. A lot of strong defensive play in this game. Much, much better showing here. Although there was a couple of little plays here and there where you like to see a little bit stronger play, and I don't know if it's necessarily something that they're going to be guilty of here, whether or not, you know, they're still kind of trying to just work through some of the issues that at hand, and knowing Barry Trotz and the coaching staff, I'm sure they've watched plenty of tape on some of their plays. But the game started right out of the gate with some bad puck management. Puck goes out to the point. Is a point shot. Thomas Greiss makes a save. The puck bounces right to the slot. Who's there? Evgeny Malkin, who's obviously playing well in the absence of Sidney Crosby, like he always does. Scores the first goal of the game, like a minute 4 into the first period. Again, Islander fans, like myself, sat there and said, hey, it's fine. This is fine. It's par for the course, right? Islanders ended the first period tied at one off a Mayfield goal. The new Islanders killer, Brian Rust, makes it 2-1. The Isles tied soon after that with a power play goal, Anthony Beauvillier. Brock Nelson gave the Isles a 3-2 lead with another power play goal. But Pens take a page from the Isles book, pull their goalie, which was a weird situation. It was a 5-on-4 after some nastiness. Anders Lee and Zach Aston-Reese, quote-unquote, fought. I used air quotes there. But were only assessed coincidental roughing penalties on the play. And then you saw an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty supposedly rescinded, and I forget who the player was, but he went off the ice. Sullivan sent one of his players to go retrieve him from the locker room. Hopefully he didn't head into the showers, and then they wound up dropping the puck in overtime because they didn't want to wait for him anymore, and I don't know, it was just a strange situation. There was some questionable officiating decisions. Not questionable officiating, obviously, but just some questionable decisions by the officiating crew that night. I don't really understand why, you know, 4-on-4 or should have really been 5-on-5, but opened up the ice there in overtime. It was kind of, not overtime, but late in the game, and a little dangerous, but the Islanders weathered the storm. Thomas Greiss stood tall, where we moved into overtime. Now, at this point, for the second game in a row, I was standing in my living room with my hands in my pockets pacing because it's just, I mean, I would have been doing the same thing had I actually been in attendance in Brooklyn. So my wife was making fun of me. My children were making fun of me. Nobody really understands how stressful I can make hockey for myself. I love it, especially, there's nothing like overtime hockey. There really isn't, whether it's the playoffs, regular season, obviously the playoffs is way more exciting, although I wouldn't really want it to get into overtime. I would rather just do it in regulation and be done with it. But we live for these memorable moments and to see which kind of a hero is going to stand up. And that hero in this instance, again, for the second game in a row, in his 500th game, all with the Islanders, like we mentioned previously, Brock Nelson. His goal, and I have no idea really what happened, whether Murray was expecting a shot or not, but Brock gets the puck near the blue line. He goes in. He beats one of the Pens defensemen. It looks like he's going to shoot. He pulls the puck up, makes a nice little stick handle move to gain a little bit more real estate in the slot. And as he's going through the slot, I don't know if Matt Murray loses track of the puck or loses sight, but Brock goes through the Royal Road, gets into position to score, or at least to shoot, and beats Matt Murray, who is trying to scramble back into position into almost an empty net. It was one of those goals where it probably shouldn't have happened. It's another play where maybe the Islanders got a little bit of luck on their side. And it's just great to see. I don't know. I can't really vocalize much, and I kind of said the same thing on Twitter too. Two games in a row, I exclaimed that I didn't really know how to handle what I'm feeling about this team. It's amazing, and obviously I was alive for the four Stanley Cups in a row, but way too young to remember the fourth one. Obviously, I was, you know, not really watching hockey all that much at the beginning three. And in my adult life, I haven't had many chances to really understand how to deal with like a team that wins like this. And it's a great feeling. And I said, I don't want to brag. I don't want to be cocky. I'm not going to be one of those fans that is, ah, your team sucks. You know, like, boo Rangers. What are you guys doing right now? Devils, haha, look at you. Not that there's really a huge rivalry with the Devils. There is with the Rangers, obviously. And it's just fun. I'm trying to have fun with it. I mean, I have an outlet with the Isles Faithful podcast where I can kind of convey my feelings in a sense here to you guys who are obviously sharing the joy and the excitement as well with me, obviously showing it to me on Twitter too. That's the other thing too. Like, I have not, I mean, I've been on Twitter for a long time, but the amount of interactions that you guys are showing me and the support for everything, you know, be it with my grandmother passing away and, you know, some of the things I say and write and obviously with the podcast, it's just the whole thing is just so fun. You know, and I failed to mention this in the last episode as well, but last Friday or earlier in the week, you know, Arthur Staples podcast, he had Katie Strang on, also who writes for The Athletic, former New York Islanders beat writer as well for Newsday. Her and I have had a very good relationship over the years. I've been featured in a couple of her articles for ESPN and Newsday and some of those other things. She always kind of reaches out to me when there's she needs like an opinion. So it's pretty cool that she thinks of me like that. But she gave me a shout out during Staples podcast, which I thought was amazing. It was something I really needed as a pick-me-up during, you know, last week when I was kind of dealing with all that stuff that I was dealing with. So I want to have her on, obviously. We've been in contact. That's the one guest I'm going to tell you that, you know, we're working on. So Katie's going to come on to talk about all the amazing things she's been doing. But, you know, stuff like that, just this season has just been crazy for me in a whole bunch of different respects. And I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate all the support. It's been a lot of fun. It really has. Another little bit of exciting news as well. I am going to be joining the amazing crew from Lighthouse Hockey over on Isles Anxiety with Dan and Mike there at some point on Sunday. So I don't know when they're going to post that episode. It'll obviously be up on Monday. So look out for that. Again, we're going to catch up from these late games here early next week, be it Monday, Tuesday, schedule permitting. It's a holiday week. I'm going to be off for a couple of days. I'm going to enjoy that. So obviously there will be plenty of opportunity to talk Islanders hockey then. Some other little bit of news. I recently migrated the Isles Faithful website to a new blazing fast host. I wasn't happy with the way it was loading. It was very slow. It was a shared thing. And so I spent a couple of days moving the website. It's got a SSL certificate now, so your browsers will not yell at you that the site's not secure. And I wanted to kind of get ahead of the ball because Apple is going to be requiring RSS feeds that go into their podcast app need to be secure. So I didn't want to have to rush around and make sure that was all up to snuff. So that's all working. If you head over to theislesfaithful.com, check it out. You might have to clear your cache or your history. But I swear that the website loads so fast, it really is, which should help in a bunch of different areas as well. So, also, I've been waiting. I don't know why it's been taking so long. A couple people have asked me why we're not on iHeartRadio, and I reached out to them because I had submitted it a while ago, and I guess they said that there's a backlog of entries and whatnot, so I'm hoping here in the next week or so that we'll be available there as well. I've also had a couple people reach out to me and say, hey, Mike, how come you're not updating the YouTube channel? And I've kind of slowly been doing that as well. I kind of let that go there at the end of last season, at the beginning of this season. So I'll work on that over the next couple of days as well. And as always, as we like to close out every episode, please head over to King's Coast Coffee and buy up that fantastic small batch roast. They are a very good friend of the show, their sponsor. Use the code FAITHFULISLES for 10% off your entire order on different coffees like the Lamplighter Blend, Dr. Lupo's Lifeline Roast, Aztec Reserve Mexico, and Professor Broman's Get Woke Blend, The Roaster's Choice, and all their holiday blends too. We have a Christmas blend and the amazing King's Cocoa if you're into hot chocolate, especially those kiddos. Get them what they need, or if you're a chocolate lover yourself. But again, head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Use the code FAITHFULISLES for 10% off your entire order. Again, everything is roasted as you order. You'll get the coffee in a couple of days, and it'll be the freshest quality you have ever had. I swear, it is amazing. Follow them on Twitter as well, at Kings Coast. You could also follow me on Twitter, at IslesBlogger. You could follow the show at Faithful Isles. Listen to the show on Apple, Spotify, Podbean, TuneIn. We're also on Pandora. so many other places to listen to the show. You could even stream it on theislesfaithful.com. While you're on the Isles Faithful website, please hit that donate button. Drop a couple of coins in the bucket. It would really help out with everything over here at the Isles Faithful headquarters. Any little bit helps. Much appreciated. If you really like the show, please do so. Also, if you haven't, there's a bunch of new subscribers. Please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps with the exposure. It helps more people find the show. It just makes everything here better for everyone. It really does. Well, this has been another fun episode again. This is episode number 40. We will talk to you on the backside of some of the West Coast games here early next week. Have a great weekend, and as always, let's go, Islanders!